Since the Tampa affair in 2001, Australia's approach to asylum seekers has been largely defined by tougher and tougher policies. In the 13 years since, human rights activists and lawyers have been making a case to change that on both legal and moral grounds, with little success, it should be said. A report released overnight suggests there needs to be a dramatic shift in the debate surrounding asylum seekers to ensure sustainable policy and to maintain social cohesion in this country. One of those leading this call is Graeme Innes. He was National Disability Discrimination Commissioner until early this year and now chairs the Attitude Australia Foundation. Graeme Innes, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks very much, Fran. Great to talk with you.
You've done this report with Per Capita, which I think we can describe as a left-leaning think tank. And in this report, you make clear that a feasible long-term strategy towards asylum seekers is already available to Australia. It's a regional partnership. I guess it comes under the Bali Convention. But what should this look like, do you think?
Well, it needs to look like a commitment which really Australia needs to lead for a couple of reasons, but mainly I think two main ones being that we're probably one of the stronger economies in the region, and also because our current policies and our past policies have been so self-centred rather than taking a broader outlook. So we need to show that we're committed to it, and it needs to be a cooperative arrangement where we recognise that there are flows of people when there are conflicts in different parts of the world, and where we share the responsibility with other countries for dealing with those flows, those people movements.
Isn't that what the Bali process was about, though? And Australia was a prime mover in that. It was about a regional approach to trying to deal with the people flows.
Well, Australia was a prime mover in getting it started under the largely under the Rudd government. But we really haven't demonstrated in our actions. We sort of talked it up well, but we haven't demonstrated in our actions that we're serious about a solution. The sort of solution that we've gone for is we'll just move the problem back to you. And that's not how cooperation works. We've got to take on our share of the responsibility. And I think that other countries see that, and that's why this process hasn't moved so very much at all since that time.
Are you saying that the current policies aren't doing that? They're putting the responsibility elsewhere? I mean, the government would say they've stopped the boats, and that in itself is going to take a big load off Indonesia, for instance, which is one of the departure countries, because if the boats can't get through, the people smugglers can't be taking people on a promise.
Well, the people are still coming to Indonesia, so the load's not off Indonesia. So we haven't stopped the flow of asylum seekers where it starts. We've stopped it at the end of the journey. And our report does say, yes, look, the boats at the moment have stopped. That's, of course, assuming that there aren't boats that just aren't getting here that we don't know about, either because, the boats are sinking or the process, or we're not being told, because it's on-water matter. Mm. But, that's not stopping or addressing the problem where it begins. And currently there's a 117-year-long queue for people seeking asylum, and those people are sitting in countries like Indonesia, so it's not taking the weight off Indonesia. But we really want to... we're proposing that the policy thinking needs to be turned on its head, because... telling the story of asylum seekers has not resonated, has not caused politicians and the community to change its policy. And we think we ought to tell the story from the point of view of Australians and Australian taxpayers. I mean,
and what would that story be? Give us a sense of that, Graeme.
Well, the Nauru and Manus detention centres alone are costing us $1 billion a year. And there's probably a lot of other costs in the naval and defence forces that it's harder to put together. So we might be talking in the order of at least $5 billion. But if you just look at that $1 billion, if you added up all of the cuts over the next few years, both to the ABC and the CSIRO, you'd still have $250 million to spare if we weren't spending that money on Manus and Nauru. And whereas it costs us $130,000 a year to keep a prisoner in Australia in a maximum security prison, it's costing us $500,000 per year per asylum seeker in these centres.
So is that the major tactic you'd use to try and persuade politicians? But really it's more the community, because the politicians, I think, respond on this issue because it seems to be so potent and kind of diabolical in terms of the community, that it's costing us too much money, we'll save money if we don't have these tough policies?
Well, we're proposing that's the thinking that we put forward. Alison and Orr and I, who wrote the paper for Per Capita, are proposing that. But what we're saying is that politicians have demonstrated, politicians on both sides of politics, have demonstrated their unwillingness or inability to move us from the current problem, because there's a whole lot of short-term political benefits for politicians to leave the problem as it is. So we're actually saying we need to see leadership from the broader community going back to politicians and saying, A, this is economically not sustainable, and B, it's actually damaging the fabric of our democracy.
It's 13 past 8 on Breakfast. Our guest is Graeme Innes, Chair of the Attitude Australia Foundation, which has released this report from Per Capita, A Nation All at Sea. When you say it's damaging the fabric of our community, of our society, in what way, and who would you have lead this change in narrative?
Well, we're encouraging leaders from across the community, churches, scientists, people in business, right across all sectors of the community, to start saying to politicians, this just isn't working. And so that's the answer to your second question. But in terms of the first question, the reinforcing the myth of the numbers of people coming to seek asylum by boat, and reinforcing that those sorts of cultural differences that it enforces, it is having an impact on the way that we regard, the way that we trust or don't trust our politicians. And there was some reporting which we've referred to earlier this year about the way that the level of trust in our politicians and our democracy has dropped. And we think that there's a link between this issue and the way it's been handled in such a short-term political gain and unsustainable way, and the level of trust in our politicians and the level of trust in our democracy.
Again, just to go back to that point I made earlier, though, Graeme Innes, do you think it's the politicians, in this case, misleading or misportraying the size of this problem to the community, or responding to community unease and fear on this issue?
Perhaps politicians might argue that they're responding to community unease and fear, but it's a fire that they've stoked themselves, and they've stoked it because it suits them to do it. We've got sort of stuck on the "we will decide who comes to our country and the circumstances in which we will come," which was John Howard's statement back in, I think, 2002. We haven't really moved from that in the last 12 years much. Mm. We started to under the Rudd government, but then that changed, and more so under the Gillard government. And it suits politicians to appear to be strong, to be tough on this issue. You know, we see pictures of politicians on the decks of naval ships. We see currently Prime Minister Abbott and Morrison taking a tough stance and making themselves out to be tough on this policy, but it's just not sustainable for all of the reasons that I've outlined.
Okay. Graeme, can I just ask you finally, because until earlier this year you were the National Disability Discrimination Commissioner, there was a report earlier this week from the National Disability Services showing that more than 80% of disability providers say there's policy confusion detracting from their ability to plan for the NDIS, and also concern that some were pulling out, government were pulling out too early and people were going to fall through the cracks before the NDIS was up and running to support them fully. Do you have a comment on this, on your observation of how it's working or not?
Well firstly, the NDIS in the trial sites is working really well. It's on time, it's on budget, and you only have to look at the surveys of people who are receiving support from the NDIS to see that everything that was said about it when we campaigned for it, that it's a much-needed scheme, was absolutely correct. I think that much of the push from the services sector is organisations who, sort of, despite what they're saying, are somewhat reluctant to change, to move to giving people with disabilities choice and control. And I also think the problem is caused by the fact that there has been a restriction on sector development, on the funds that were made available by the government for through the NDIS for sector development and to assist this change. In fact, much of the spending on the sector development fund, I'm told, has just been stopped or blocked through the NDIS, and okay. I don't know whether that comes from the agency or from the federal government. But, you know, I think that's part of the problem too.
All right, Graham, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Great to talk with you, Fran.
Graham Innes is the chair of the Attitude Australia Foundation and co-author of this latest per capita report. It's called A Nation All at Sea, Seeking Leadership on Asylum Seekers. It was launched last night.